Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, we got a praise report or two here.
Yes, we do have a praise report. This is from Beth Land. She said, "Hello. In September, my husband, mother-in-law, and I, visited your church. Pastor Scribner and Cheryl prayed for my mother-in-law's diabetes and kidneys. The doctors were telling her she would need to be on dialysis soon. She has gone back to the doctor, and her kidneys are fine."
Hey. Thank you, Jesus.
No need for any dialysis. They are perfectly healthy and normal. Praise God. I'm telling everybody I know about this. Praise Jesus. I cannot praise Him enough.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm telling
praise
Jesus.
God.
We do serve an awesome Jesus.
We do.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Well, most of y'all know it's Christmas here. We're doing in our 16th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit, and so far we've raised $54,939.
Praise God.
And we've given Christmas to 2,866 children and teen moms so far. Now I'm into the bulk shopping. I delivered one load to Justin Community Clothes Closet, and I delivered, and they wanted size 2T to 10 in clothes. She said they just fly off the rack. And then I delivered our first load to Grace, Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange in Grapevine. They did Grapevine, Colleyville, and Southlake. And I've got my second one ready to be delivered. And then Candace and Clifford have brought me some more stuff to take to them. And then after that, I've got to work on the Salvation Army and just continue to bless everyone and any children that have come up, which is a great thing. And, of course, I think I told y'all last week about Kendra Scott Jewelry Company that's now going to bless all the teenage girls and give them jewelry in their favorite color, because I emailed them about their philanthropy, and they emailed back and said, "Well, we're going to have the Southlake store contact you," and they did. And then after she called me, she said, "Well, I used to go to school with some of the Christ Haven children in Keller." And so her heart was moved on it. And so all the girls from 11 to 21, there's 12 of them, they're giving them a piece of jewelry in their favorite color. So
praise
the Lord. Yeah, so they're being blessed.
Praise
and then
the
Miss Betty brought me some, she made some, knitted a whole bunch of these baby things for the teen moms. You know, they have a hat and booties, I take it. Yeah, hat and booties of various colors. If anybody's pregnant, hopefully not me. Praise the Lord. Okay, and we've had a tragedy. I don't know if a few people have seen it. The First Baptist Church outside of San Antonio was attacked today. It killed so far 27 and injured 30. Yes, they've shot the shooter, but we don't know the reason yet. And of course, we can all assume, but we're not going to assume anything. So, Psalm 91, I think, is what you said we were going to read.
Yeah. In fact, I would like to challenge each one of you to read this psalm every day over you and your family. Because, you know, if you listen to this psalm, and it's amazing how the Lord woke me up in the early hours this morning and told me, make sure we read Psalm 91 over our church today. And so I didn't know this other thing had happened until just a few minutes ago. So anyway, I was already pre-warned by the Lord. And I think that, you know, that this Psalms 91, it's such an awesome statement from God in His Word. We're going to use the King James Version.
We can.
Let's use the King James Version and put it on the board. And Cheryl's going to read it for you. And I want her to read it slow. And I want you to just let it soak in, you know, what she's actually saying. Remember, this is God's Word to His children. You know, this is for us. So when anything that God puts in there for us, just like Dave talked about communion a while ago, when you get a hold of the fact that Jesus already bore your sickness and removed your disease, if you got some kind of sickness, you will get well.
Amen.
If you repent, all you got to do is repent, confess your sin, and say, "Okay, Lord, you died on that cross for me, and I'm well," and you'll get well. And we've learned so many things in the healing ministry. And seeing so many people, just like this lady and her family that Cheryl just read to you about, you know, it's a wonderful thing when people are told by doctors that they're going to have dialysis or whatever, and they come out here from all over, and we show them what they've done wrong. We get them to repent of their sin, and then we claim the promises that God's already laid out. It's finished. He's already done it. And so when they get a hold of it, they receive it by faith, and then they call back, and some of them do. It's amazing. Some people never call back. They get healed. Their kids get healed and everything else, and we never hear from them again for a long time. But some people, they like this one lady, she says, "I'm telling everybody about this place." Well, that's what she should do. Because who is it that shows up out here?
Jesus.
Absolutely. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it's His children, and He wants to heal you.
Amen.
Especially since He's already done it on the cross, He wants as many to receive it as possible. And we want you to receive it. We do not want you to be sick. We want you to be well. You know, we want you to be delivered. You know, you've been given all power and all authority over the enemy. You know, and people, they go through their whole life defeated and beaten down and trodden down. And it's amazing how we live. And Jesus came and told us, He said, you know, if you'll just believe my word, you won't be an overcomer. You'll be more than an overcomer.
Amen.
You know, you'll be more than a conqueror.
Amen.
You know, when that devil, you know, that comes and does all the things he does, when Jesus handed you the Word of God, especially Luke 10:19-20, I used to quote that a whole lot more than I do now, but when Jesus says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall any means hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not that these evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather rejoice that your name's written in heaven." When that soaks in, when that really soaks in, behold, I have been given authority and power to tread on the devil and his demons. All power. Lord, all I got to do is repent. Lord, I repent for my sins. I'm sorry for all my sins. Lord, I'm through with this sinful stuff. I'm not going to sin no more. I'm going to die to sin just like you said. I'm going to walk in obedience to your word. Now, I'm kicking that devil out, devil. And if you happen to be married and you're a married woman, you really need your husband to do this for you. Because you don't have the same power he does. He has more power than you do because he's your husband. And when you and him agree together, the two of you, man, when two of you agree, Scott, what happens when two of you agree?
It's done.
That's it. It's done. And then you can say it's done. And everybody here the other day was coming through here walking wearing a t-shirt written on the front, "It is done."
Amen.
I love that, don't you?
Amen.
It is done. He did it 2,000 years ago. And when you believe it's done, that's when you're going to get delivered and healed. The enemy will do everything he can to make you think that you're not going to get healed. But you continue to stand on those promises, you will get healed. I mean, we see it over and over and over. So whatever you do, don't doubt the Word of God. Believe the Word of God now. As Cheryl reads this, Psalm 91, I want her to read it slow, and we want her to meditate on the Word and what it says. Okay, honey, start with Psalm 91.
And I needed to make one more announcement.
Oh, okay.
For those that used to go to the Dallas Church, Bob and Ruthie Pockner that used to attend, Bob Pockner passed away this past Wednesday. He was 81. They're having his funeral Tuesday in a church in Fort Worth. Robert Lewis Pockner is his name. So I just want to let all those that if you want to send Ruthie a card or something.
Oh, and by the way,
nice.
Too, I forgot to say that next Saturday is the healing school?
Yeah.
Okay, next Saturday is the healing school. So, you know, if you want to learn how to get healed, come to the healing school, and we will show you how to walk with Jesus, how to confess your sin, how to break the curses over you and then claim the promises of God. And if you will believe that, you'll get healed. But you have to believe it. Now, that's a kicker. The Lord says you must believe with no doubt in your heart.
Yes.
And you must trust me and no other.
Yes.
Now, that's hard. Very few people can do it. But you be the one that can. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. He died for me. He arose on the dead for me. He gave me a brand new covenant. He told me I had all power and all authority. I can do it in Jesus' name. So I'm going to walk in divine health. I'm going to be healed in Jesus' name. I don't go by what I see. I go by what the Word says.
Amen.
The Word says, by His stripes I was healed. Okay, so anyway,
I forgot one more thing.
One more thing, okay.
I should have written the list today. Okay, Paula Sue, wave your hands so everybody knows who you are. Okay, for Christmas, Paula Sue makes special cakes, lemon cake and cream. Okay, so 3 or 4 she'll bring up here next week, and they're delicious. I can confess that I love her cakes. And so, and she, you just give her whatever you want for her cake. It's for the Christmas benefit. And Dee, would you hold your hand up? Dee is making embroidering tea towels. So if you'd like a set of tea towels and something special on it, get with Dee, and she, I forget what you charge, but anyway.
And that's another way that Paula tells the Lord she loves Him for what He did for her, because when she came out here, she had been sick for 20 years. 20 years. And she'd been in pain and suffering and everything. And she come and learned how to get healed, got prayed for. It took more than once a weekend, more than once a healing school. But after she finally got it soaked into her spirit, what she had to do and was prayed for, she believed it was done. And she got completely healed. And all of her pain and suffering has been gone now for several years. She's been walking in divine health. So that's why she does what she does. If you were a woman that was a good cook and Jesus healed you after 20 years, would you be happy to make the master some cakes? Guarantee you would be happy to make the master some cakes. And that's why she does what she does, because she can't do enough for Jesus because of what He did for her. And she didn't know that she had been healed 2,000 years ago. She didn't know that, but she came out here and learned it. And then when she did, she realized that we could all get together. We could kick that devil out of her. And we kicked that devil out. Boy, you put your hand on her head, bam. You know, and kick that devil out. You know, and he goes away. And then she gets healed.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? Okay,
One more.
No,
that was the one more.
That was the one more. Okay.
Oh, and unless you want to give to the Christmas deal, put on your tithe or your envelope, just put children or Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't go there unless you tell me that.
Okay.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to listen to what she said. There's a requirement here. You know, in other words, you just can't come to church on Sunday and then go away and forget who God is next week. And there's so many people. I lived like that for a lot of my years. You know, I'd go to church on Sunday. I mean, man, I did everything. I worked for Jesus. I'd go visit. I'd do everything. We did all that on Sunday. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we worked, you know, as a rule. We didn't really spend a lot of time with Jesus. But when I begin to see scriptures like this, that I need to dwell in the secret place. Do you see a difference in just going with Jesus maybe one day a week on Sunday and dwelling with Him? Yeah, so if you dwell with Him, and that's what He wants. Okay, if we dwell with Him, then what does He say?
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress.
Okay, now then, just a minute here. Are you a Christian?
Yes, sir.
Would you talk a little louder?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Don't say it so loud you might offend somebody.
I don't care. I don't care about offending them.
You see where I'm coming from? Him that will say of the Lord? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Some of you have been here before and heard me tell this testimony. But me and Cheryl was in Baltimore. We walked into the elevator and there was a boatload of 6 foot, 6, 8 inch, 10 inch boys. I mean, you talk about some men. I thought I had some men here. You know, I mean, these boys were something. And I looked up and I said, man, look at the potential in this elevator. Woo! I said, man, I said, Lord, you could do some great work with all these. I said, how many of you boys in here are Christians? Not a word. We got to the bottom and I'm still standing there. Nobody said a word. I said, well, I guess I was wrong. I thought y'all were Christians. Y'all are a bunch of wimps. Y'all are a bunch of wimps. So me and Cheryl started out of the elevator, and three of them said, God bless you, sir. At least three of them spoke up. I don't know what happened, but you know, it's time that the young men begin to realize that to be a Christian is not, I mean, that's not a wimp. I mean, some of the toughest boys I know are Christians. I mean, you know, that really, really get out there. They're not wimps. They get out there and do something for Jesus. But you got to be willing to say of the Lord, He is my God. He's my Lord. He's in my refuge. In Him do I trust. You got to be willing to talk to Him. You got to be willing to tell people. Don't let somebody have to ask you, are you a Christian? You know, if you get out there and you, I mean, wherever you are, you get out of your car, everything you do should be glorifying God. You know, you ought to be saying something nice, like, you know, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you all this story. I know some of you heard it and some of you hadn't, but it's an awesome story. We was in Kansas City, preaching up there in a church. We got through that church that night, and we went to the hotel. We were going to go to the hotel. IHOP, yeah, IHOP. We were at an IHOP, and we went to from the church to the IHOP, and Dave didn't want, he was there, but he didn't want to hang out with us till 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning, so he said, I'm going to the hotel. So the pastor said, okay, I'll just run you on up there, Dave. It's only a couple of blocks, and then I'll come back and have dinner with Cheryl and Thurman and my wife. And so anyway, we walked in. His wife, me, and Cheryl walked into this little IHOP, and we sat down. Yes, sir, her husband wasn't there yet. He was taking Dave somewhere to the hotel. But anyway, we sat down, the three of us, we sat down, and this young boy comes up and said, can I take your order? I said, well, something I need to know about you first. He said, what's that? I said, are you a Christian? He said, well, no, but my granddaddy is. I said, well, you know, your granddaddy ain't gonna be no grandchildren in heaven. I said, you know, you're either gonna go to heaven because you're a Christian or you're gonna go to hell. I said, you need to know Jesus. And when I said you need to know Jesus, you know, I'm talking just like I'm talking right now. Son, you need to know Jesus. All of a sudden, there's some guy down here. He screams, who is talking about Jesus in a public place? You can't talk about Jesus in a public place. Man, I looked up, and there was a guy down there in the booth way down there, about as far back as here to the back of the church. I jumped out of that booth I was in. I mean, I just tore out. I went to running as hard as I could get there. He didn't have a clue. I was too fast for him. I went running down that aisleway, and I got there, and when I got there, he was on the booth on the other side. I jumped in the booth on this side, reached over and grabbed him by the shoulders and pulled him right to me and screamed, come out of him, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. I said, now, Lord, I ask you to convict this man of sin and draw him into the kingdom of God and glory and save him. Thank you, Lord. I said, now, son, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? He said, I'd love it. Led that boy to Jesus, right? And that's a wimp. Now, that's what you call a wimp, see? I'm a wimp for Jesus. I didn't care what happened to me or anybody else, but I went in there and I kicked that devil out of that boy, got that boy saved. After we got him saved, we went back to the seat, and I'm sitting down there and everything, and all of a sudden, the pastor come in and sat down, and his wife said, boy, did you miss it? Said, you should have been here. He said, what happened? He said, Thurman just kicked the devil out of that guy back there and got him saved. And he was a Muslim or something. He was a dark-skinned man.
He was a Hindu or something.
He was something. But anybody didn't know Jesus. But now, anyway, after we got him saved and everything, and he ate and we ordered, and I led this boy to Jesus and everything. We're sitting there, and this man gets ready to leave, and he comes around front, walks up to my table, and he grabs my hand and says, sir, I just want to thank you again for what you did for me. Now, this is a man that was lost. A few minutes ago, they didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. When we kicked this devil out of him and prayed the prayer of faith for him, did exactly what God says, and I learned all that stuff. That's why I wrote that book, How to Get a Lost Person Saved, because I've learned how to get a lost person saved. And you can do it. If you read that, you can do it. And so anyway, as soon as he left, there was two guys got up over here and come over here, and he walked up over here. And he says, are you a preacher? I said, well, I guess you could say that. I said, he said, are you preaching at a church here in town? I said, yeah, at his church. He said, how long are you going to be here? I said, 2 more days. He said, you have a business card? And the guy said, yes. He said, good. Give him a business card. He said, is it open to anybody? I said, sure. Come on. We'd be glad to have you. He took a couple of business cards, and he turned around, and he says, I've been a Christian a long time, and I never saw what I saw tonight. Here, He reached in his pocket and handed me a $100 bill. He said, here, here's for y'all's dinner tonight. That's the kind of man Psalms 91 is looking for.
Amen.
The man that's not afraid. The man that it makes no difference who walks in or what they're going to do. You're not afraid of nobody. Jesus is the King of Kings. And when you know Psalm 91, look at that next verse. Now, after you're willing to dwell in the secret place and you're willing to say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my strength, then what's the promise that He says will come?
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
Okay, so that devil, who's going to deliver you from that devil?
Jesus.
If you're willing to stand your ground for Jesus, you don't have to worry. He will send a warring angel. Now, you know, stop and think about this. If you thought for a second that you had a 14-foot, 300-pound angel walking right beside you everywhere you went, would you have any fear of anything? And he was invisible and nobody could see him, not even you, but you knew he was there. Well, let me tell you, he's really there. He is really there. See, I mean, he's there. And if you're willing to say, if you're willing to dwell in the secret place, and you're willing to say of the Lord, He's my refuge, He's my strength, then the Lord will deliver you from the fowler. He will deliver you. If He delivers you from the devil, what can the devil do to you? Absolutely nothing. You know, when I learned to look into the spirit world, when I think about what's going on, and I think about this, when I especially started learning about the throne room issue, when he said, come boldly into the throne room of God, Hebrews 4:16, don't just come into my throne room and say, you know, don't come in here like a whipped dog. Come in here like you're a son of God,
right.
A daughter of the King.
Amen.
I mean, he wants to help. He wants to do things for you, right?
Right. Yes.
When I walk in, I go and say, hey, Dad, how you doing? Is that the way it's supposed to be? And he's in a business meeting. God, the King of the Kings and Lord of Lords, he's in a business meeting. And I happen to walk in and I'm his son. I say, Dad, I got to talk to you. He says, sure, problem. No, son. No problem, son. Let's get over here. Me and you sit here and talk. What do you need? But, Dad, all these people you're having a business meeting with. He said, that's all right. You're just business acquaintances. You're my son. It's different with you, right? It's different. We're sons and daughters. We're somebody special. You need to see yourself as somebody special. When you go around living a defeated life because you don't know who you are, just like Paula. Paula lived a defeated life for how many years, Paula?
Until I came here. I went to church for decades until I came here and learned the truth. I lived a defeated life.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
That is, it was all the time the healing was available for you and you didn't know it. But when she finally got a hold of the power, when she gets a hold of the power, and then she's in agreement with two or three, and Mike and Gracie right here, I remember the day that that couple prayed for her the day that she got healed. I mean, they really broke through. And Mike, of course, he's learning, and Gracie's learning, but they're all getting stronger and stronger in the Lord. And this time they all got strong. And now then here I'm seeing in the throne room the King of Kings, God the Father. And I'm seeing up there Jesus Christ, the attorney, and Satan, the attorney, because this is what Scripture teaches. There is a throne room, and you've got these two good lawyers, and the devil, he is one of the best lawyers in the universe, and he is attacking you, saying, look at this idiot. He doesn't know. When he learns that you know, you begin to learn who you are, he gives you a little more respect. He tries to get away from you. But when you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've repented. We found Paula's sin. We got her to remit her sin. She's repented, Lord, of that sin. And Jesus said, now that she's repented of that sin, I've taken care of it. So she's healed. And the devil, he's foiled again. And so from the day she learned what was rightfully hers, now she walks in divine health and has all power and all authority over the enemy. And she's not had any more pain in her body, all because she learned the truth. But you got to learn to stay in the Word. It's amazing the people that are Christians, that go to church, that have no idea. They live in the world. Those people live in the world. They don't live with Jesus. That's why they're sick and defeated and have all these problems, especially children. You know, children say, I don't want to go to the church. Mom, Dad, whatever. Y'all can go to that old church up there. I don't want to go. I would rather go out and hang out with the whatever. What you're doing, you're hanging out with the buzzards. You're walking on the ground with the buzzards. If you got a good mom and dad that know Jesus, they're soaring with the eagles. I love soaring with the eagles, don't you? I don't want to walk around there with them old buzzards, do you? I want to soar with the eagles. Too many people today are walking on the ground with the buzzards instead of soaring with the eagles. The other day, I happened to turn on the TV for something. I don't know. I was going to watch the news or something. Flipped over on the news channel, and they had a little short thing about the football boys. And when they had the little thing about the football boys, they looked and they showed a picture of a man standing down on the field, and had a big old leather thing on his arm. And I thought, what is that? And then all of a sudden I looked, and here was the camera focused on this great, big, beautiful golden eagle. And this eagle flew right down through that stadium, all a big, beautiful thing. Everybody's watching him. He comes around, he's right up here, and lands right on this man's shoulder right here. He knows where he's at, his boss. I thought, you know, that's just like God. We need to be soaring with those eagles, and we need to be flying and landing on God's shoulder saying, Dad, here I am. Amen. And he's saying, Son, what can I do for you? We're eagles. He renews our youth like the eagle. So isn't that amazing? We need to meditate on the Word so we can see ourselves as eagles. I mean, we're not wimps. We're eagles. You know what I mean? Because he renews our youth like the eagles. Wow. Like Cheryl keeps saying, you know, she's going to live to be an old, healthy young woman. Old, healthy. Somewhere around 100 or 110 years old, whatever. She ain't letting the old woman in. She's going to stay healthy. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's go on and read the next verse. After the Lord promised to deliver us from the fowler, you know who the fowler is, right? Yeah. The devil. We're going to kick him out. Jesus is going to kick him out so you don't have to worry. Okay, read the next verse.
Next. And he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
Wow, the truth of the Word of God. I am a conqueror. No, I'm not. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. All things are mine. Everything belongs to me. I have all power and all authority. It's all mine. That's why he says, come into the throne room of God boldly, because everything that I have is yours. Everything that I give Jesus on the cross is yours. All power and all authority is yours. And I remember what Howard Pittman told us that time when he was here, when he had died and he was going across the veil. There was a voice that kept telling him, Howard, just stop breathing. Everything's going to be okay. Stop breathing. In other words, he said, it sounded like God. He said, I didn't realize it was the devil, because he said the devil was having to coax me to kill myself, because as a son of God, he could not kill me. He's having to convince me to stop breathing so I can die. And he said, no, I ain't gonna quit breathing. I'm going through the veil. I'm a son of God. And he said, when he realized that thought, that everything just went away. And now he realizes that the devil was trying his best to kill him. Every day. Have you ever heard of somebody say, you know, I was driving down the road and all of a sudden a thought came to me, and just pull over into the front of the car in front of you and kill everybody? Pull off the side of the road and turn your car upside down. Have you ever heard anybody say they had those kind of thoughts? Yeah, I've heard all kinds of people say, you know, I hear these voices. Many times I've had people say, I hear voices. They say, for me, and I say, what does the voice tell you? Says, you know, you're nothing. You're depressed. You know, you're not going to make it. You're going to die. And guess what people do? They listen to that voice. You should come back immediately and say, I'm a son or a daughter of God. You ain't going to do this to me. I'm an overcomer. I'm going to kick you out. Ain't that what you do? I mean, and you grab that beast, that devil by the nape of the neck, and you punch him out. And if you do you any good, I mean, it might, in the spirit world, it probably would help if you just reach up and grab that devil like this and say, I'm going to kick you out. Just get him and shake him a couple of times and then knee him in the stomach. You know, just say, okay, devil, this is what I am. And I'm a son or a daughter of God. Have another one. You know, sometimes you need to just get over it. Didn't the Lord say the violent takes it by force? You know, so if you get all hung up on that devil, just get violent with him. Tell him you're going to kick him out. I mean, get strong. I remember one time a story I read about a man of God in England. They brought him a little child that was all messed up. And they handed him this little child, and when they did, they handed the child to him. And he just took the child and just walked up to the podium about 4 feet off the ground and just kind of throwed the child like this and then kicked that child. Everybody went, ah! He's killing the kid. And then the kid hit the floor. Somebody said, you fool. I thought you was a preacher. He said, I am. What's wrong? They said, you're trying to kill that kid. He said, no, that kid's healed. They picked that kid up and that kid was completely delivered and completely healed. He had kicked the devil. He said, what did you do? He said, I just kicked the devil out of him. You see what I mean? When the Lord tells you to do, if you're led by the Spirit of God, that's like that. This story, I saw this on TBN. A guy was a Catholic, and he was wanting God to use him for his glory. He had seen some things and places that God had done stuff, and he's pleading with the Lord, Lord, use me for your glory. So he goes into the back of the sanctuary, the Catholic church, sets down, and when he does, he raises his head up and looks over there, and he looks right straight at a woman that's sitting there, and the Lord says, get up and go over there and slap her just as hard as you can. He said, Lord, that couldn't be you. He said, son, you said you wanted to be used to me for my glory? He said, yes. He said, get up, go over and slap her just as hard as you can slap her. He said, this can't be God. See, when things don't line up like we think, when the Spirit is talking to you, you need to be very careful, all right? I'll have to say, you don't do something stupid because, you know, you might hurt somebody. But this girl was in trouble, and this man didn't know it. And so he waited till the church service was completely over. And finally at the end, the Lord told him, said, well, this is the last chance you'll have. That you'll either obey me or you won't obey me. And he said, Lord, I want to obey you. What do you want me to do? He said, I've already told you 3 times. Go over and slap that girl as hard as you can slap her. He said, Lord. So he jumps up and runs over there and said, ma'am, I know you'll think I'm the craziest man you ever seen, but the Lord told me to do this. Bam! Knocked that girl plumb off on the floor. That girl got up and she said, oh, thank you. I've been sitting here thinking about meditating on how I was going to kill myself. I even got a gun in the car, but I was wondering how I was going to kill myself. But now then, that voice that's been talking to me is gone. Who do you think that was? So sometimes when God tells you to do something, it may not line up with what you think makes good sense. But if you know that you're led by the Spirit and you know you're hearing from God, whatever He tells you to do, just like her. In other words, she's got a great testimony about how they went down to a lady, that a family member that was dying with hospice, and her husband walked into the hospice room, and that lady, she looked awful. And I mean to tell you, when they walked in there, Carrie's, her countenance failed. She said, oh my gosh, look at this woman. She looks awful. And Jesus spoke to her and said, Carrie, you know, when I prayed for Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead, he had already been dead 4 days. This woman's still alive. She'll be a piece of cake. She's not dead yet. But when Carrie saw her and saw her sitting there, immediately she lost it. But anyway, you prayed for her and they got healed, didn't they? Never, ever anybody to come out of hospice in that place, and y'all kicked that devil out, and Jesus raised that woman up, and she got healed. Now see, why could she have that power to do that? Because she heard the Spirit tell her what to do. Is that right, Carrie? Yeah, you actually heard the Spirit of God. Just like the Scripture says, those of us that are true sons and daughters of God, we are led by the Spirit of God. And we need to learn to listen to Him and do exactly what He says. When you did that, He raised that woman from the dead. Isn't it awesome? It is awesome. Praise the Lord, honey. Okay, the next verse.
Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day.
Now, does that sound like there's a battle going on all around us? Yes. Well, let me tell you, folks, there is a battle going on all around you. You know, there is arrows being shot. You know, I mean, warfare. There's people that has sin in their life that the devil has legal right to, and the arrows are flying right here in this place. And you can get killed. Yeah, you can get killed, you know, by being in the wrong place. You know, so don't hang out with the buzzards. Hang out with the eagles. You know, so okay, and go on to the next verse.
Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday.
Boy, I mean, the more you see this, the more this battle is going on, is it not? So what does that make you want to do? It makes me want to walk holy before God. Because if I'm walking holy before God, can these beasts do anything to me?
No.
No, they cannot. If I do something that opens the door and they do come in, and of course they're there, so the very second that you open the door through some kind of sin, and there's all kinds of ways you can do this, those beasts will come into your life and they will start killing you. They'll start making you sick, making you feel bad, make a tumor come up in your mouth, or all kinds of things. They do all kinds of things. But if you yield to it, they will get you. This battle is going on all around you. All around. Read on a little further.
Well, in the pestilence, just like right now, they danced with the dead in Madagascar, and the Black Plague is back, and it's passing into other countries. I think it's in 9 countries now, so that can't come near us, nor the destruction of North Korea can't come near us either.
Now then, it all depends, you know, where do you walk with God? I mean, if you're reading if you're walking in Psalms 91, can, so far, everything she's read, can anything touch you?
No.
I mean, you're totally protected. Okay, read on a little further there, huh?
1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Wow. What does that say? I mean, you just stop and think of the authority and power that God has given to you as His son and daughter. If you walk in obedience to His word, you can see thousands, right and left hand, sides, do everything. They can do everything, but they cannot come near you. Those arrows can shoot. They can go all around you, and technically speaking, they will go through you.
Amen.
And they won't do any damage. They'll go right through you.
Amen.
But they can't touch you. That's what the Scripture says. So we don't have to worry. So once in a while, if there's a little sin of some kind and you get a pain in your body somewhere, you need to stop and say, okay, Lord, I repent. I don't know what I did wrong here, but I might have done something wrong. And Lord, if I did, I repent. And of course, the adversary is up there saying, you know, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And you say, okay, adversary, I know I'm going to be in agreement with you that I did do something wrong here a while ago. And I know you're going to try to get me, but I ain't going to let you because I'm going to repent. Right now, I'm just like last week, if you were here last week, you heard us give a testimony about a lady that her and her husband, she said, I'd been reading and listening to some of your stuff, and she said, I went to bed that night and said, when I did, she said, all day long, my husband and I'd been in a knockdown drag out. We had not been getting along. Now, I know none of y'all ever done that with your mate. Mm-hmm. She said, we could not get along. We had a knockdown, drag out. And she said, let me tell you, I did not sleep in the bedroom with him. I slept in another bed that night and said, I went to bed mad and said, I woke up in the wee hours of the morning and I was in excruciating pain. And I realized what you had said. Don't go to bed angry lest you give place to the devil. So she said, I repented. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I asked my husband to forgive me. But she said, the pain wouldn't go away. So she said, I just said, okay, Lord, as soon as he wakes up, as soon as the sun comes up and opens an eye, I will be in there in that bedroom telling him how sorry I am, that will he forgive me? And she said, as soon as I went in there and told my husband, I'm so sorry, he said, okay, I forgive you. She said, as soon as he said that, the pain was gone. She said, let me tell you, it's going to be a long time before I get down into another one of those knockdown drag of my husband. It's no good, is it? No, it ain't no good. So you know, it's amazing. But anyway, the scripture, is that written in the scripture?
It is.
I mean, just exactly like that too, isn't it, Miss Jackie? I mean, God says, don't go to bed angry unless you give place to the devil. I mean, he told us just exactly, and there's not nobody, hardly nobody believes that the devil, that God will turn the devil over on us. But he will, won't he? Yes, he will. Okay, read another paragraph there, or scripture.
Next one. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
Only with your eyes. I thought about my brother-in-law that died many years ago. My sister's husband, how he was at Normandy Beach. I thought about him every time I read Psalm 91. I think about that man coming off that boat with his weapons and everything and heading into the shore. Wow. You know, he said to Thurman, he wouldn't talk about it much. You couldn't hardly get him to talk about it. But one day he said something to me. He says, you know, some of those guys on the way over there said they didn't believe in Jesus. And he said they was drinking and, you know, they was playing cards and they was doing all kinds of stuff and, you know, profane, cussing and doing all kinds of stuff. But he said, when we hit that beach and we started running up there and you see all of a sudden the men get cut completely in two. 30 caliber machine gun shell just cuts you in two or your head blow off. You see all this. He said, let me tell you, those boys that were hitting those holes over there, they were praying to somebody. But a few minutes ago, they didn't believe. He said, let me tell you, there ain't no atheists in the foxholes. There ain't nobody in that foxhole. You know, he's calling on somebody. And that makes sense, doesn't it?
Sure does.
But I think about what he went through, what he saw, and all those things. War is hell on earth, isn't it? You don't want to go there. But many a man has died, and he got shot. And even right now, we're beginning to experience and see things like this everywhere. When you see it in a little tiny church of 50 people this morning, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. That's why we need to make sure we read this scripture. If you do not have a copy of Psalms 91, you need to get you one. We've got a box up here with stuff, and you need to get one of those, and you need to take it with you, and you need to read Psalms 91 every day, every day, every day, every day. You need to read it. Because I'm expounding on it in great detail. But I want to expound on it so you'll know that it means what it says and it does what it says it'll do.
Yes.
So you need to realize if you want to read over that thing and expound on it to yourself like I do, God will be happy with you.
Yes. Amen.
He doesn't have a problem with you spending more time with him and his word. Guarantee. You all understand that? That's why God does what he does with the word anyway. He didn't say he sent me, or Thurman or whatever to heal you. Who did he say he sent to heal you?
The word.
The Word, His Word. His Word's what heals you, not Thurman. His Word. So when you do what His Word says, that's when you get healed, because He's the healer. Read the next verse, honey.
Because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, Thy habitation.
Wow. If you're going to make Him your habitation, your dwelling place, that means you're going to be living with Him, talking with Him, loving on Him. And guess what? That's what He wants. He wants you to spend time with Him, right? That's what this whole thing is about. That's why Jesus, when you take one of these cards and you go out, and when you go out and sit down in your car to go home, read over it one time. It won't take you but just a few minutes. Just read over it. And then lay it down right there on your dash or on your seat right there beside you, and just go. And every time you come to a light, in fact, I knew a woman one time that had, I forget how many verses, it was 35, I believe, 35 verses. She heard, she come home first, and she went on Christian television, turned on Christian television, and something she should never have done. You should never watch Christian television, you might get healed. So anyway, she turned on the Christian television, and she looked at it, and there was a lady on there that said that she memorized a bunch of verses, healing scriptures, and after she did all that, God healed her, and she got healed of a lifelong problem. So she said, okay. She sat down, and she wrote down all the healing scriptures she could find. It turned out to be 35 of them, 35 of these verses. So she would take those verses, and she'd take them with her. She was a school teacher. Every morning when she'd get up, she had this terrible problem with her face. I mean, she had broke out all over really bad. So anyway, as she got more and more verses, she'd take those verses and she'd put it in her car. She'd drive up to a light. When she'd get to the light and stop, she'd reach over, grab one of them, she'd read it, and then she'd look at the light change, she'd lay it down, she'd drive on, and then from that light to the next light, she'd quote that one over and over and over. It took her 2 or 3 months to memorize 35 verses. She finally got 35 verses memorized in her heart, and she said, okay, Lord, this afternoon at 3 o'clock when I get home from school, I'm going to be completely healed. There's going to be no marks on my face. I'm going to be healed. Now, I have no idea where she came up with that time. I don't know why, but anyway, she woke up that morning, went to the mirror and looked, and she said, wow, just what I thought. You know, it's not as bad today as it was yesterday, so I'm going to get healed. It's a done deal. That afternoon, she came back. She'd had this for years. This afternoon when she came back, she went into the house and opened the bathroom door and walked in and looked in the mirror, and her face was beautiful. There wasn't a thing wrong with it. What healed her? The Word. The Word is what healed her. She took those verses. By His stripes I was healed. He bore my sickness and removed my disease. He says in His Word, I can ask anything in Jesus' name and He will do it. She just started writing down these scriptures and she started memorizing them, quoting them over and over and over. When she finally got those in her heart and continued to say them, then that faith builds when you quote God's Word. And so she got to that place where she finally said, okay, today, 3 o'clock, when I get home from school, I'm going to be healed. There ain't going to be no more marks on my face. And they wasn't. She got exactly what she said. Isn't that amazing? The Word. Read on.
There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
I like that, too. No evil shall... No evil. If no evil, Miss Betty, if there's no evil going to hit me, what does that mean? How much is going to, what's going to get me?
Zero.
That's right. And Jesus is the one who made this statement, didn't He? He's the one who told us that no evil shall befall us. No evil. Now, we're going to walk among it. We're going to walk around it. We're going to see them falling at our right hand or left hand, everything. We're going to see things happening. We're going to see death and destruction all around us, but it can't come near you. Cannot come near your dwelling. Next verse.
For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways.
You know, when I said a while ago about a 14-foot angel, you know, I don't really know how big these boys are. I'm just guessing. You know, all I know is that the time when we was working over to the gym over here, trying to stand up that wall when I was building the gym for Tim years ago, me and Dave, we were trying to stand up a wall that was 22 feet high, and I think it's 22 feet, whatever it was, it's 40, 45 feet long, double 2x6s. Now, anybody would ought to know that two men, they ought to have their head examined for even thinking they can do this, but we tried it. And we couldn't do it. We tried to pick it up. We couldn't do it. And so it nearly fell on us, but we got it down on the floor without getting killed. And so you know how guys are. Dave, he said, Thurman, you know what you did wrong? I said, no, what did I do wrong? He said, you didn't ask God to send us an angel to help us. I said, you're right. I didn't. I said, Father, I now need a drink of cold water. But I'm going to have a drink of cold water. And when I get through this glass of cold water, I'm going to go over there, and me and Dave's going to, he's going to get on this end, I'm going to get on this end. We're asked you to send one or two angels, whatever it takes, and we're going to stand that wall up there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, it's done. So I had a cold water, walked over there. I said, you ready, Dave? He said, I'm ready. I reached down, got my end. He reached down, and got his end. I said, up, let's go. And that wall just went up right in place. He said, man, you really must have lifted a bunch, because I didn't hardly pick up nothing. Now, who put that wall up there for us?
Angel.
The Lord sure did. He sent an angel to put that wall up there. Because, I mean, Dave, the other day, we done some work at the gym and changed a bunch of stuff. And those 2x6s and 2x4s, 2x8s and all that stuff that we took out of there is now on his front porch. He made a patio out of those things. Dave looked at that and he says, man, Thurman, that's some lumber. He said, wow, that's the wall that came out of the church, I mean out of the gym. Isn't it amazing what God can do? He tells us right there he's going to send his angels and give them charge over us so they can take care of us and protect us. Now then, if you just had one angel, just one. And let me give you a little story about in the Bible about one angel. And this guy, he must have really been a wimp. One angel, King Sennacherib. He was going to kill Hezekiah and Isaiah. And the Lord told him, says, don't worry about it, boys. I got it under control. Don't worry about it. I got it under control. I'll send an angel out to take care of you boys tonight. So the next morning, whenever the sun came up, there was 185,000 soldiers laying on the ground dead. Am I telling you the truth? 185,000 soldiers, and they only had to send
one
angel. Scott, Even with all the stuff me and you get into, we probably wouldn't need over three or four of them boys, would we? Isn't that something? Can't you just see, I can see now, when I was a kid, some of the things I did and some of the places I went and all the crazy things I did and walking over rattlesnakes and everything else, I just think one day when I get to heaven, the Lord's going to send my angel or two or three or whatever and they're coming over and say, boy, we're glad you finally got here. You really took a load off of us. But I did. I had lots of fun. I mean, isn't it amazing that God, I mean, just think, and you can't see these things. But if God said they're there, are they there?
They are there.
I guarantee, yeah, they are there, Tony. Those angels are there, and they're going with you and Mary every day, and they're watching over y'all and protecting you because you're sons and daughters of the Most High, and he sends his angels and gives them charge over you.
That's right.
So we don't have to be afraid of nothing, do we?
No.
I just think about Tony, when he didn't even know it, when he used to fly as a fighter over in the Middle East and wherever he's at, I can just see now one of his angels sitting out on the wingtip out there. Said, I got to watch over this boy. God's got a chore for this boy, so I got to watch over him, protect him. And that guy was right out there on the wingtip. Don't you just know he was there? If you looked, he'd say, hey, Tony, I'm watching over you, son. I'm taking care of you. And you didn't even know he was there, did you? No. But he was there. Guarantee, because you were going to become one of God's sons, and he's going to make sure that he's going to take care of you. So he's doing that. Well, we got these angels there, and the Lord gives them charge over us, and no evil shall come near us, and nothing shall harm us.
Amen.
Why do we go around all hung out all the time, thinking, oh, woe is me? Because we don't know. We don't know who we are and whose we are.
Before we went to Norway, the Lord sent an angel beside our bed, and this light, this bright light woke me up, and I see this 7 foot, 300 pound angel, and I start backtracking, going, whoa! and I wake up Thurman, and he throws his arm across me like he's going to protect me or something. I said, see the angel, see the angel. And he looks, and he sees the angel too, and the angel just, like he gifted something, then he turned around and he walked through the veil. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like it. And it ended up that what it was is when finally after we went to Norway on the fourth day, when they had come against him so badly, and finally on the fourth day he taught on love, and they brought out this big old stack of prayer requests, and they asked us all, as I stretched my hand out toward the prayer request to pray, as he prayed, the Lord spoke to me and said, that's why I sent the angel to increase the anointing for Norway. And yeah. Just, you know, wow, that angel was
sure
huge.
Did, we sure did get to see a lot of people get healed in Norway. It's lots of fun hanging out with the king. I'm telling you, you know, you'd be amazed what you get to see him do. And what does he say? What else does he say there, honey?
I'm waiting.
Next
verse.
We're waiting.
They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
Wow. You know, I used to be when I wore boots when I was working in... Careful. When I used to work in the engineering field, I wore boots all the time. And, of course, the floor was always slick. You know, especially that butter that would be on the floor. They had all kinds of food, everything. I walked through that place as fast as I could, you know. And I never slipped or fell. One day, a guy was walking with a pair of tennis shoes on, and he was having all kinds of trouble staying up. And we get over to the other side, and he said, how in the world do you walk so solid? You never slip or fall or nothing. I said, I got an angel that holds me up. I don't have to worry about slipping and falling. I said, it's impossible for me to fall down. They didn't know who they were. They had no idea that if they were sons or daughters of God, that they had angels that were helping them too. Do you know that everything we're reading on this is yours? This is for you. You know, everything that we've read, these angels, everything is here for each one of us. It's just not here for me and Cheryl. This is here for you. And that's why I want you to see this, because when you really begin to learn and understand who you are, it'll change the way you do business. When you learn that you're a son or a daughter of God and he sent his angels to protect you, and that nothing can hurt you. If you walk in obedience to his word, and you do not walk out there with a buzzard. Now, if you're out there walking around on the ground with the buzzards, you may get hurt, because that's where the filth of the world is at. You don't want to be out there with the druggies, the people that are drinking, people that are cussing, people that are doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You don't want to be walking out there on the ground with them buzzards. That's where you get killed. Be soaring with the eagles. It's so much more fun to soar with an eagle. I love it. Wow, it's amazing. Okay, read on.
Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet.
When you learn, a while ago when I was kicking them in the stomach and doing all the stuff I was doing there, you know, you need to realize, you know, that the king himself said that we take this kingdom by force. So, you know, if you have to take it by force, take it by force. But don't let the enemy do it to you. You know, he will if you let him. It just never ceases to amaze me how the enemy will beat up on you, steal things from you, take things away from you, and all the time you have power and authority over him. And he knows you have that power and authority, but he's taking it away from you all the time. What a shame. What a shame. We should never let that happen. I'm a son of God. Aren't you?
Yes.
In Jesus' name. All right, read the next line.
Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name.
Wow. I mean, who's going to do all that?
Lord God.
You don't have to worry about nothing as a child of the King if you're walking in obedience with His word and you're pleasing Him.
Amen.
He loves you. He wants you to be obedient. He wants you to do what He says. And as long as you'll do what He says, nothing can harm you. Nothing can hurt you. Praise. Read a little further.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, you can't go wrong with a deal like that. I mean, the only thing about this deal is that this deal, as a rule, is mostly invisible. And you can't see him, God, or your angels or nothing else. And most people, that's just like this girl that was, she was going through North Dallas here. And right here in this church, same kind of deal. She was going through North Dallas. She went to an alley. And when she got to this alley, it was getting dark. And she said, she looked down and thought, it's a whole lot further to go around the road where there are lights. But she thought, okay, Lord, I'll just go through here. I'll cut through here to the house. But Lord, I ask you to protect me. Thank you. And that's all she said. She had no idea what just happened in the spirit world. But as she walked through the alleyway, she gets back there, way back there, deep in the alley, where there was a guy standing there, and he's standing there with his foot leaned up against the wall and kind of whittling or something, and startled her. And so she just walked right on by. He didn't do nothing. He just stayed right there. She went on home, got home. The next day she saw somebody that said there was a girl got killed and raped in that alley. She went down to the police station. They'd picked up four or five guys. When she went down there, she said, well, that guy right there was standing in that hallway, in that alleyway when I went through, but said he didn't do anything. But the guy acknowledged that he was the one that did it. And she asked him a question. She said, why did you do what you did to this young lady, but you let me go through? You didn't bother me. He said, woman, are you crazy? She said, what do you mean? He said, there was 2 6-foot-6 men walking right behind you. It wasn't with the other girl. You see, when you ask God to send an angel or send protection, He can do it any way He wants to. He said He gives His angels. All He's got to do is say, angels, go down and watch over Thurman. Go down and watch over Scott or Kim. And all we got to do is just ask. And if we're walking obedient to His word, I don't believe we even have to ask. I think He just sends them. I think we get ready to go somewhere. If we're walking in total obedience to His word, He just says, boys, go down there, y'all, both of you, and just follow Miss Jackie all everywhere she goes. Really take good care of her today. Amen. You'll take them guys, won't you? Yeah, because they're angels, and they're there, and they're to give. God has given you those angels to give, to take care of you. Next verse.
With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, read on.
There is no more.
Oh, is that the last one?
That's the end of it.
Oh, yeah. That is. I want you to turn to Psalms 23. I want us to read Psalms 23. Now, we just read Psalm 91. We've never read Psalm 23, but I want Cheryl to just read Psalm 23. I'm not going to expound on it near as much as I did this Psalm 91. But what I'm trying to tell you on Psalm 91, you need to read Psalm 91. At least read it. You agree, Bill?
Absolutely.
Every day you need to read Psalm 91. If you will read, in fact, we had a man here, he comes here regular, he sent his family to Europe just recently. And he, every day while they were gone, he read Psalm 91 over his family at home. Every day he read those Psalms. Nothing happened. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got injured, damaged, or nothing. The next day, they came home. The next day, that alert, that thing that happened with the Muslims in whatever place that was in Europe. Where?
London.
And somewhere in London.
London.
His wife and children, his boys, had walked right there on that platform the day before.
Yeah,
on the bridge. They walked across that bridge, but he was praying. And so all the time he was praying, nobody could do nothing. And so his wife and boys and everything got home with no harm. But the next day, he wasn't there, and he wasn't praying over that place. So they had that terrible alert, and all them people got killed on that bridge there in London. Isn't it amazing how you can change history?
Yes.
Let's see what the 23rd Psalm says, honey.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Wow. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Wow.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Forever.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. That is for you and me. Now then, you know, when you really begin to understand how that these things work, how that whenever you claim the redemption from the curse and kick out the spirits, those spirits go away. In fact, last Sunday, I guess, yeah, it was last Sunday, Mike, you and Gracie had that live wire from Atlanta?
Yeah.
It was last Sunday or one? Yeah, just a couple of days. We had two couples. One couple, actually both of them came from Atlanta. The one over here, they had a problem they didn't even know they had. The man had a problem, and so they got with Mike and Gracie after the service, and they went through a deliverance, and they delivered them and got them set free and totally changed that couple's life forever.
Wow.
I mean, it was an awesome thing. Yeah, the man came up and told me, he said, man, I came up here to get my wife healed. I had no idea I had all these problems myself. And he got delivered. And I guarantee that was something else to see. But he was so grateful. Well, let me tell you, this is a church that believes in the promises of God. And we believe they work, and we believe they work every time. And so whenever we kick a devil out of you, you got to believe you're delivered. Don't come up here to just thinking, hoping, maybe it'll work. No, no, no. When you come up for prayer with any one of the prayer teams, we want you to believe no beyond a shadow of a doubt that what we're doing is going to work, just like this Psalm 91 and just like that Psalm 23. I remember a young couple that came up here that had a little girl, and she was 4 years old. This little girl, any time that she got anywhere close to any kind of a nut, peanut, you know, pecan, anything, she would break out and start sweating, and her throat would
swell up,
and she couldn't breathe, she couldn't eat, and they had an Epiral shot, or what do they call that thing, that they had to give her in the leg. And so they came here, and I told them, I said, well, see, was she born like that? And they said, yes. I said, was she your firstborn child? And they said, yes. I said, okay. I said, more than likely, you and your husband, I said, y'all more than likely had sex before you got married. And they said, we did. I said, okay, didn't you know that was a sin? And she said, yes, we knew that was a sin. I said, then why did you do it? Well, I mean, you know, we're young and we just wanted to. I said, so do you not have any idea there was a consequence that goes with that? They said, never heard anything, been in church all of our life, never heard anybody say there's a consequence having sex out of wedlock. But let me tell you, the Word says there is. It's all over the Word. So anyway, I told them, I said, now then, if you will both repent for what you did, because you know it's wrong, and they did, and they both repented, I said, now then, I'm going to break the curse. Now then, that you've confessed your sin, I'm going to cancel that curse. We're going to command that curse to come out of you, those spirits, and leave you alone and never come back, and the little girl's going to be completely healed. And so we did all that, and when we got through with it, I said, okay, now you're healed. And the mother, I'll never forget what she said. She said, Pastor, you can't tell me that you just said a few words and my daughter's healed. I can go feed her anything I want to feed her. I said, well, if you believe God's word. See, what did he send to heal us?
His word.
His word. He didn't send that kicking Thurman up there. He didn't send a kicking Thurman to get you set free. He sent his word. Now, if I want to put a little on it, that's okay, right? I can do it, but that don't have nothing to do with the power. It's just, you know, that's why I don't ever push anybody down or do anything wild to nobody, because I realize my showmanship has nothing to do with getting someone healed.
Right.
It's the word. That's why you don't ever see me do these showmanship things like some people do. I don't believe in that. But once in a while, just to kind of liven things up or something, I may say something or do something silly. But anyway, I told him, I said, yeah, you can feed her anything you want to, and I guarantee she will not break out. They went back there in that corner and sat there and talked about it for a while. The mother was here. The grandmother was with them. I told him, I said, you know, all you got to do is believe. And she said, I just have a real hard time believing that I can feed her anything when all you did was just said a few words. Those words were God's word.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the difference. So anyway, I said, well, okay, then it won't work for you. I said, until you believe it, it won't work. Because God said in his word, you have to believe with no doubt in your heart. So anyway, they took her home. I told them, I said, Mother, you and your grandmother, I said, I want y'all to take the word and begin to go over these words and quote them day after day after day until your faith comes, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We want to hear it out loud. So they quoted it for a week. At the end of the week, the mother finally told the daughter, said, honey, everything Thurman said is right here in the book. It is exactly what God says. Why don't we believe him and let's get this done? So she said, okay. So she left the shot at home. They went and got the little girl and put her in the car and the grandmother, and they went down to the Logan Steakhouse. The Logan Steakhouse, they had peanuts. They had the little buckets of peanuts all over the place. So as they walked through, the grandma picks up a bucket of peanuts. She's walking through, walking on a crunch, 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 crunch. And as Cheryl read Psalms 23, I thought about what she said. As she's walking along there with those peanuts, she's saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So she went over and sat down, told her little granddaughter, said, honey, eat those peanuts. You can eat all you want. Jesus has delivered you. She sat down and ate that. And the last time Cheryl and I was out at Midland. We saw one of the elders of the TV network, and he knew that family. And he said, they have since had another child, and said, that child is perfectly normal, and said, that other child is perfectly normal, and she can eat anything she wants, and she never has any problems. How did we get that done? By word. All you got to do is believe the word. When you believe the word, then you get set free, you get delivered. Now, the devil will do everything he can to make you think it ain't going to work. But you got to be bigger than the devil. You got to believe. And if you believe, you can get set free. That's just the way it is. Praise God. Okay, let's the communion people. If you'll go get the stuff, we'll have communion. Dave's already done a great job, as usual, telling you all about the communion and the cracker and the wine and everything, as he always does. So all we got to do is just take it. What, honey? Yep, Saturday's the healing school. But we're going to be praying for people right after this, too. So if you need to be healed and you're here and you want to get healed, you can get healed today. You don't have to wait till Saturday. All you got to do is believe.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, my goodness gracious, I couldn't even tell you how many people that we've seen the Lord heal at a healing school, but a lot. Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. He heals his children, doesn't he, friends? He does for a fact. Yeah, praise God. He heals his children. And we love it.
Pastor, I was listening to one of your videos and you were telling about a boy that came, had his hand all deformed. And he said that he had been in an automobile accident. And he had listened to you for about 3 hours. And he walked up and he asked you if God could do that. And you said, I guarantee it. And you prayed for him.
Yeah.
And right before your eyes, his hand was perfect.
Yeah.
Because you went over to his house to visit him to check on him.
Yeah.
And he was sitting in the bed and all he was doing was praising the Lord.
That's all right.
I thought, Lord, that's a good word.
Yeah, that's a true story. You know, that boy was praising the Lord. When he repented of his sin and he asked me, do I think that God would heal him? I said, no, I guarantee he will. And I just reached up and put my hand on his shoulder in the name of Jesus. And that hand, which was all twisted up and gnarled and everything else, was instantly made whole right before our very eyes. What can God do? Anything we can believe him for. You got to throw that extra part on there. Only what you can believe him for. If you don't believe he can do it, he won't do it. As you have believed, so shall it be done unto you. As you have believed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the bread. Thank you for what you did on that cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And we eat the bread and the blood of the new covenant, the blood that was shed for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, it's done. For all of you that are gun-carrying people, if you'll just lay a Psalm 91 card on your seat, maybe one on this and one on the doorpost on this side, then you got two guns. Two Psalm 91 card. Guarantee that's all you'll need. If you read that scripture and you believe that scripture, can anything hurt you? Absolutely not. Nothing can hurt you. He promised it. Now, if you don't read that and you don't stand on those by faith, well, then nothing, who knows what's going to happen. But if you're reading, if you take two of them Psalm 91 cards, put one in your doorpost on this side, one in your car in the middle, your seats, rest. Every time you come somewhere that you can stop for a second, for a few minutes, at a red light or a long one or whatever, just jerk one of them cards out and read somewhere. It don't matter where you're reading, just read. You'll be putting the word in your heart. And I guarantee if you'll do that, you know, just like he says, no evil shall come near you. Ain't nothing can touch you. Nothing. Okay, my prayer team. I want my prayer team to stand up. Y'all see who they are? We got four of us up here and back here and back here. We got prayer team. So if you need to be prayed for today, get with one of us. We will pray over you, deliver you, set you free, whatever. If you don't need to be set free, if you don't need anything, then all the CDs and DVDs are free. Take as many as you want. Take them home. Take them. Give them to your friends. And if you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over here on the wall. You can give a donation to the ministry. If you want a receipt for it, make sure you put it in an envelope if it's cash, where we can keep a record. Cheryl keeps all those records, and I'm glad she does. I'm glad I don't have to do that. So if you don't need anything, no pray for or nothing, we'll just close in prayer, and then you're dismissed. You stand around and talk to people, whatever. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these folks. I thank you for bringing them to the church today. I thank you for bringing them people to the healing school next week. Bring your people that you need to get healed and delivered and set free. And Lord, thank you for bringing your people. Thank you for healing your people. And we praise you and thank you for being our God and our Savior and our healer and our deliverer and our provider. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed.